Hare Krishna. It's always a pleasure to be at the manor. I'm very grateful for getting this opportunity to be able to serve you in some way. Thank you very much. And I beg the mercy of all the Vaishnavas assembled and anyone who's hearing that please bestow your causeless mercy upon me. I cry and beg for that mercy so that your time is not wasted and I speak something of value to you. Thank you very much. So we are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 16, text 16 to 18. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tapan Mishra's desire was to live with the Lord in Navdweep, but the Lord asked him to go to Varanasi, Banaras. Text 17. Translation. The Lord assured Tapan Mishra that they would meet again in Varanasi. Receiving this order, Tapan Mishra went there. Translation. I cannot understand the inconceivable pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for although Tapan Mishra wanted to live with him in Navadvip, the Lord advised him to go to Varanasi. Purport. When Tapan Mishra met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya was living in household life, and there was no indication that in the future he would accept the sannyas order. But by asking Tapan Mishra to go to Varanasi, he indicated that in the future he would accept sannyas, and that when he would teach Sanatan Goswami, Tapan Mishra would take advantage of the opportunity to learn the object of life and the real process of attaining it. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpatari Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this chapter is entitled Pastimes of Childhood and Youth of obviously Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this chapter, the chapter summary gives that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just entered the Kaishor Leela. He is 11 years old and he is a Pandit, Nimai Pandit, and he is teaching in Navdweep to students, lots of students he has. He is teaching to them. And then there comes Tapan Mishra, who lives in East Bengal in a village called Rampur, which is on the banks of the Padmavati River, Padma River. And he comes there. Tapan Mishra himself is a Pandit. He has studied scriptures. But because he has studied scriptures haphazardly, he hasn't received the essence of it. And we can see here, he is also coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he wants a guru. So, he comes and actually he has a dream. And in that dream, a brahmana tells him that go to Nimai Pandit. He will solve, you know, the questions that you have. So, Tapan Mishra comes to the Lord and he surrenders and falls down at his lotus feet. And he says that I had a dream. And in the dream, you know, I was told to come to you. So I've come to you. Please help me. So Mahaprabhu is very pleased with his humility. And so he blesses him. And he tells him that Harinam Sankirtan is the only purpose of life. And it is also the path to attain this purpose. So everything is attained by Harinam Sankirtan. And so he initiates Tapan Mishra in the holy name. And then Tapan Mishra wants to live with the Lord, as we find in these three verses. He wants to spend time with the Lord in Navadvip. But the Lord has other plans for him. The Lord says, you go to Banaras, which is also called Kashi. So you go there and perform bhajan, perform your Harinam Sankirtan there. So Tapan Mishra goes to Banaras. So here we can see that it is so important that we get the instructions from the Guru as to what we should do. Here Tapan Mishra is lucky to get that and he follows that. He is a resident of East Bengal. In those days, people hardly left their village. They took birth and died in the same village, serving the villagers. But here he's been asked to, you know, move to a completely different place. And it is not that they had cars or anything like that they could go. They had to go walking through jungles. So it was a dangerous thing. But he just, as soon as he receives the order, he just follows it, moves there with his paraphernalia. So obedience to the instructions of the Guru is very important. And we are very lucky in ISKCON. We receive the instructions of the Guru right at the time of initiation. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshmanji Hanumanji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we are very lucky in ISKCON. At the time of initiation, we are told to chant 16 rounds. We take vows, in fact, and follow the four regulative principles. And then read and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and follow the nine types of devotional service under the guidance of Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus. So we get these instructions. And we can, by following that, we can make our life successful. We don't need any other thing to basically, get any other instructions. So here Tapan Mishra does that. And we can see that in the Shastras, those who have followed the instructions of their Guru, especially Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, their Guru, Randharada Muni, they followed the instructions and they were very successful in their lives. So, I would like to discuss some of the aspects of where instructions were followed, where instructions were not followed, due to various reasons. And the first that comes to mind is Shabari. Shabari, she basically lives in this village in North India. And she wants to find out the goal of life. And she is interested in self-realization. So she approaches Matanga Rishi, who is nearby in the forest, and she serves him throughout his life. And as Matanga Rishi is about to take Mahasamadhi and go back home, she falls at his feet and he says, what are the instructions for me? Thus far I have been serving you. So what can I do to make my life successful? So Matanga Rishi tells her, you just perform your bhajan here, and one day Lord Ram will come himself and he will bless you. And by his blessings everything will be achieved for you. Like that. So she remains in that place and she says, when Lord Ram will come, what will I do? What will I give him as a gift? You know. So she's meditating on that and suddenly she thinks, oh yes, there are lots of berries on the trees here. So I will take those berries. But I want to give him the choicest of berries. So how can I do that? And she's so absorbed in the thoughts of Lord Ram that she doesn't realize that the idea that comes up is that I will, you know, taste those berries. And the good ones I'll keep for Lord Ram. And the bad ones I'll throw them away. So she does this daily. Every day. And at the end of the day, or the next day, the berries are perishing. She wants to give him fresh berries. So every day she is doing this. And she does that for years and years and years. And finally one day Lord Ram appears and he comes there. And she receives him very well because that is the day. And she has berries with her. And he is accompanied by Lakshman and Sita. So she gives them nice asan at a place. She's all meditated on this before. She gives them a nice place to sit, gives them water, and then she brings these berries which she had tasted in a basket. And Lakshman looks at it and, you know, he sees they're all, he can see that they're all eaten. And he doesn't know. He says, he makes a face. But Lord Ram is very pleased. And he accepts them and he eats them. And seeing him, of course, Sita also, you know, joins him on Lord Ram's instruction. But Lakshman is, you know, he doesn't want to take any of it. And then he looks at Lord Ram and he, you know, he's questioning, how is this? And Lord Ram says to Lakshman what, you know, is there in the scriptures, that Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He takes the bhav, he takes the consciousness in which the offering is offered. Not just the offering. It doesn't mean that we should offer anything. We should offer the right things and the best we can. But Krishna takes the consciousness. And therefore he sees Shabari is completely, she's offering, doing everything in devotion. And yes, she has tasted it without, you know, thinking about it. But still Lord Ram is tasting the devotion in tasting those berries. So he accepts that. And his life, her life is successful. So Lord Ram, she gets blessing from Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshmanji. And of course Lakshmanji also gets the lesson in devotion. Of course, I mean, he knows it, but in order to prove the point to us, Lord Ram uses Lakshman, you know, to send him the point that for him, the consciousness in which the offering is made is very important. So, that is a very important point actually. Because sometimes, most of the times when we are in dealing with the external world, things are in the mode of passion and ignorance mostly. And we come into the association of devotees and here too, you know, the same consciousness remains. And it is very difficult snatching services or trying to be where you're not supposed to be just to get attention or, you know, trying to do. But all those things will actually, you know, not please the Lord. If we really want to please the Lord, then we should, you know, at least when we are performing devotional service, try to come to the mode of goodness as much as possible. And even if we don't, maybe we are slow, maybe we don't know, you know, just remain where we are, do to the extent we can. And the Lord will be very pleased with that. Because He will see us, you know, working also on our consciousness, not just the service. and taking into account the positions and the services of other Vaishnavas. And then that will get us more of his mercy and blessings like that. So that is proved by here. And that is proved here by Shabari following the instructions of Matang Muni. But not everyone, you know, is as lucky, as we can see that in Bali Maharaj's case, when he receives Vamana Dev, and he sees, I mean, the description is so vivid, you know, like in Bhrigu Kachha, which is in Gujarat, Bali Maharaj is performing Yajna. And the Yajna is called Vishwajit Yajna. You know, he's already defeated Indra. He wants to conquer the whole universe. And he's performing this. Shukracharya is the priest of the demons. And he's performing the Yajna. And as they're performing the Yajna, you know, everything is bright. Everything is effulgent there because so many Brahmanas are chanting. Everything is right. Bali Maharaj has the complete blessings of Shukracharya. So everything is okay there. But suddenly their attention is diverted by this effulgence coming from another place. And that is Lord Vamanadev, Batuk Brahman, you know, walking his way to the Yajna Kund. And they are all distracted by it and they can't stop looking. And Bali Maharaj is just mesmerized by the form of Vamanadev, full of effulgence. So he gets up from his Yajna seat, receives Vamanadev, gives him a seat. And he does everything properly according to the rituals, and he then, you know, performs achaman, washes the Lord's lotus feet, and he asks him. He doesn't know it's the Lord. He thinks it's a Batuk Brahman. And he says, "You are a Brahman, but obviously, you know, seeing from your effulgence, you seem to be someone special. I don't know who you are, but I would like to offer you. Ask of me whatever you want. Kingdoms, you know, land, cows, whatever you want." So Bali Maharaj, Trivikram, as we know, he asked for this 3 paces of land because he sees that his mother Aditi is not very happy because all her children, Indra, Chandra, Varun, all have been defeated by Bali Maharaj, and they are out of the heavenly planets because Bali Maharaj has conquered it. So they are without homes. The mother, Aditi, feels for her children and she approaches Lord Vishnu, performs austerities, and he says, "Okay, I'll come as Vamanadev, Indra's younger brother, and I'll set things right." So he wants to take away everything that the demons have. And he says, I just need 3 steps of land. And at that time, Bali Maharaj, you know, performs achaman to give it, and Shukracharya actually stops him. He says to him, "No, you know, you don't know who this little dwarf is. It is Lord Vishnu himself. And he's come to take everything away because he is on the side of your enemy. Don't give it to him. You lose everything." So here there is a guru who is very powerful. Actually, Indra has had insulted Brihaspati. And at that time, Bali had pleased Shukracharya. So by the blessings of Shukracharya, Bali was able to conquer the heavenly planets. But this guru then goes on to say, because he has selfish motives, that if Bali Maharaj loses everything, then what will happen to him? So instead of following dharma, he's following selfish karmakand. Because he says to Bali Maharaj, "Oh, it doesn't matter. When one's livelihood is at stake, at that time, it is okay not to keep up your promises. You can go back on your word." But Bali Maharaj says, "No, I am the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And so I must keep my word." And so he goes. And Shukracharya actually curses. He says, "If you don't follow my instructions, you'll be ruined in all endeavors." So a guru is the most forgiving person. Actually, we can see even in ISKCON, most of the times, Gurus don't even know us, yet they take the responsibility to take us back home, back to Godhead. They're just taking that responsibility. You know, they've performed austerities. They're close to the disciplic succession because they've followed Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're representing the Lord and they have the power to take disciples back home. And they are taking people who are signed off by the temples just based on that, because they have been in the mentorship system. They don't know us, but they take the responsibility. And that itself shows a sign of compassion for the living entity. And so here, instead of forgiving and being proud that in these difficult times, Bali Maharaj is following the religious principles, you know, Shukracharya actually curses him. And of course, we know Bali Maharaj surrenders everything. But it doesn't end there. Krishna humiliates him further by putting him under the Varun Pash. Yeah? Tying him up, because he says, okay, by one step I have conquered the earthly regions, by the other step the heavenly planets. So I have conquered everything. I don't have a place to place the third step. So you have broken your vow. So Bali Maharaj says, you can place it on my head. So Vamanadeva literally places it on his head and pushes him down to the Sutala planets. Like that. And everyone around, the Daityas, they start to attack Vamanadeva. But Bali Maharaj knows, I have kept my word. So therefore he is the emblem of Atma Nivedanam. He's given his everything to the Lord. So, and then he becomes the beneficiary, because Lord Sri Krishna doesn't keep anything. So just because Bali Maharaj has given him everything, Krishna makes him the Lord of the Sutala planets and himself becomes Bali Maharaj's servant, gatekeeper there. So we can see that, you know, just by following religious principles, here is an example where he hasn't followed, Bali Maharaj hasn't followed the Guru's instruction, but he has followed the dharmic principles. Consequently, he gets the benefits. Like that. We also have example in the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya, whose 1000th anniversary we celebrated this year. So he was born in 1017 AD, after the death of Christ. He was born then. And he lived in Kanchipuram. And there he was thinking that he was a Brahmana basically. So he got married to Rakshambal. His parents arranged the marriage. He came to Kanchipuram and he wanted to take on a guru. So he took a guru at that time there was a Mayavadi guru of the Shankara Sampradaya. His name was Yadav Prakash. But he was famous all over South India. Very famous. So Madhavacharya surrendered to him. And even though he did not like the philosophy that was taught, because Mayavadi philosophy didn't basically touch his heart, he continued, because he thought the Lord has a plan, so I will persist with it. So he continued to do that. And one day, of course, it wasn't soon after, one day, Yadav Prakash, you know, asked Ramanujacharya after class to massage him, as was the duty of the disciples. So Ramanujacharya was massaging Yadav Prakash. And at that time a disciple comes. And he has some questions. And Yadav Prakash on that day had spoken about, from the Chandogya Upanishad, he spoke about the beauty of the Lord. But as we know, the Mayavadis, they don't believe in the personality of the Lord. So he compared the lotus eyes of Lord Sri Krishna to the backside of a monkey. The backside of a monkey is also pink. So he compared it to that. And, you know, that shows the Mayavadis, I mean, how fallen they are. So then when this disciple comes to question that, and Yadav Prakash says, yes, that is what I said. You are right. So Ramanujacharya starts crying because he can't bear this insult to the Lord. And he starts crying, and his hot tears, they fall on the thighs of Yadav Prakash, his spiritual master at that time. And Yadav Prakash, he feels some hot water on his thighs, and he sees Ramanuja's face, and it is totally disturbed. He's trying to hold in his tears and his grief. And he asks him, what's the matter? Because, you know, he was a very sincere disciple. So Yadav Prakash loved him. And then Ramanujacharya says, oh Lord, you know, forgive my, you know, offenses. But I just felt that the translation you had given doesn't fit in. And Yadav Prakash said, he gets angry, Yadav Prakash, because he says, how can a disciple say something like that, even though he's begging for offenses before speaking? So he says, what's your interpretation? So then Ramanujacharya says that my interpretation is that the Lord's eyes are as beautiful as the lotuses. And it's not my interpretation. This is what the scriptures say. The Lord has a form, and his form is the most beautiful. And his form is not like any other form. Like that. So Yadav Prakash is very angry. He says, you know, how can you say that? You know, this is what Shankaracharya said. And whatever the Shankaracharya, Sampradaya Acharya says, we follow that. If you think you know better, then you can go and start your own school. I don't want you here. So then Ramanujacharya goes and he starts his own school. And he starts the school of devotion. And Vishishta Advaita, qualified dualism, that, you know, we are qualitatively the same as Krishna, like that, but we are minuscule. So he starts preaching devotional service, and Yadav Prakash is very angry, and he is very envious as well. And he thinks, you know, that what can I, you know, do to stop this following of Ramanujacharya? So we can know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadishe kamahe. He's not after followers. But we can see that, you know, any guru who is after followers, as Yadav Prakash is thinking, is not a guru at all. But to make matters worse further, he hatches a plot. He wants to take a retreat to Varanasi. And he asks his disciples to invite Ramanujacharya as well. And Ramanujacharya, innocently, thinking that everything is okay now, he says yes to the proposal. But luckily, he takes his cousin Govinda with him. So, there's a seat here. So he takes his cousin Govinda, and then when they are in Varanasi, at that time Yadav Prakash tells his disciples the reason why, you know, he's brought Ramanujacharya here. He says, we will kill him. And at that time all the disciples are discussing, and Govinda happens to overhear it. And then he goes and tells Ramanujacharya, do you know that they are going to kill you? Because that is the plan of Yadav Prakash. And Ramanujacharya is shocked, because he thought everything is over now. I followed my guru's instruction. He said, go and, you know, open another school. I have done it. And I am preaching what I believe in. And as per the scriptures, as per my, you know, what I think is the essence of the scriptures. But, you know, I have to save myself. So then he escapes from there. He escapes from there, comes to Kanchipuram and starts preaching again. And then Yadav Prakash, he remains there for many days. And after that, they ask Govinda, what happened? You know, like, he was with you. So Govinda says, we went to the jungle, but a lion ate Ramanuja. And so I've come back alone. And so they believe it. In fact, you know, they're very happy that this has happened. They said, it's good. We don't have to kill him. The animal killed him. So now, you know, our hands are untainted. So they come back to Kanchipuram. And they find Ramanujacharya running his school there. So they are shocked. But they can't do anything. And they think that there is a higher power protecting him. So Yadav Prakash decides, better not to meddle with him. So there we can see how, it wasn't easy in those days to get gurus. In ISKCON, again, you know, it is so organized. We may be working outside. People had to give their lives to gurus, to give their mercy. Prabhupada arranged ISKCON in such a way, you know, initiation actually, you know, as it is followed in ISKCON, is totally, you know, the yajnas, all the, you know, traditional methods that are followed in the scripture. Everything is followed. Even though, you know, we can say that we are not that qualified. So we are most fortunate in, you know, having this legacy that Srila Prabhupada left in terms of, you know, the procedures, the programs and everything. We can see in olden days it wasn't that easy. So here Tapan Mishra, he is following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he goes to Varanasi. And he lives there, he marries there. And there is another devotee, his name is Chandrasekhar Acharya. Chandrasekhar Acharya is a Vaidya by birth. A Vaidya is a physician. In those days, you know, before the Western system of medicine came into being, it was Ayurveda and all other, you know, methods that were natural, like that. But even though he was a Vaidya, he was a clerk, he was working as a clerk. Consequently, he was a Shudra. But because he was a devotee, he had the complete mercy of the Lord. So we can see that the Lord, you know, doesn't take our qualifications into account. He gives the mercy to everyone. So, Chandrasekhar Acharya is there. And the third person who is there is Tapan Mishra's son. Tapan Mishra's son is none other than Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis who we worship. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he tells Tapan Mishra that you go to Varanasi, Banaras, Kashi. At that time he also, you know, it is mentioned here that he is indicating that I'll come and meet you there. Tapan Mishra didn't know in what form, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to go there as a sannyasi. So after going to Vrindavan, after taking sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Varanasi. Another thing is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he gave the instruction, he had entered Kishore Leela. Was hardly 11 years or more at that age. And he gives this instruction to Tapan Mishra, who was much older. Still, Tapan Mishra accepts the instructions, the surrender. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Vrindavan, he goes to Varanasi. He meets the devotees there. And he has called Sanatan Goswami to meet him there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Varanasi and lives at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And Varanasi at that time, and even today, is the seat of the Mayavadis. Or those who are followers of Shankaracharya and even followers of Lord Shiva. Kashi has a huge following of Lord Shiva. There are Shiva temples, like that. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time, you know, he avoids all Mayavadi sannyasis, doesn't meet them, doesn't go anywhere. He stays at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And daily he goes to eat at the house of Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra kindly calls Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who cooks very nicely for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very happy with his cooking. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spreads the holy name there, Sankirtan movement. He sings and dances, trying to attract the Mayavadis. But of course, the Mayavadis think it is sentimental. See, most of the people, like even I used to work in central London. And I used to see devotees going on Harinam. And I used to shake my head like this. I still remember, what's going on here? Not knowing one day I'll be following them. And Harinam Sankirtan will be one of my favorite, you know. Singing and dancing in central London will be one of my favorite to sing. So we think that it is some sentimentality, you know. They just sing and dance and they go around here, there. So they think it is sentimentality. And we are studying the scriptures. So we are great. You know, something great. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dances at that time, you know, Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers, they feel like dancing. Because this is the Supreme Lord. He attracts them. So, Tapan Mishra, you know, he knows these Mayavadi sannyasis and all. And then when he meets them, at that time he comes to know that they are all criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are all criticizing him because they think he is a sentimentalist and he is not studying the Vedic scriptures. Consequently, what type of sannyasi is he? And so, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya, they tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about this. That, you know, we can't bear, O Lord, your criticism. It breaks our heart. Please do something about it. And as if in answer to that, a Maharashtrian Brahman from Maharashtra comes there. And he invites Lord Chaitanya to his house. On the same day, he has also invited the Mayavadi sannyasis. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranges that just to deal with the pain of his devotees. So it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions very nicely, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya, they are pure devotees. But they could not argue with the Mayavadis on this basis. Consequently, Prabhupada also calls them Kanishta Adhikaris. But he also calls them pure devotees because they didn't argue. But they did come and talk to the Lord. They mentioned it to the Lord. Oh Lord, please deal with them. Because it breaks our heart to see the way they speak about you. So while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to the house of the Maharashtrian Brahman and he, of course, you know, washes his feet. There's always a place in the courtyard where people wash their feet before they come into the inner quarters. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washes his feet there and he sits there. And then he glows like millions of sun. Because he knows that that is the only thing that will wake up the sannyasis. Nothing else, you know. So, we also need, like, I remember, you know, I always think, what changed my mind about the Hare Krishnas? I was also thinking, they're just people, you know, dancing in central London and this is not the right way to defect our Hinduism. You know, I was a Hindu. So, this thing, so what is this going on? So, then, you know, as I was getting, you know, tired. Life was kicking me off my life outside, you know. Everything was okay in order, but my heart wasn't happy. And then in that way, when Krishna slowly, you know, made me take the sabbatical and I went to various institutions to find out what they were doing. But I was open-minded then. So this open-mindedness was very important. You know, to get the message through, you know. Then I realized, oh my God, you know, this is not just singing and dancing. They have philosophy, they have drama, they have everything, you know. There's nothing. They have a lifestyle and they have solution to all the problems of life. This is not just a movement. It's, you know, it's everything. All the solutions are here. And then that attracted. But the shock was needed. Similarly, you know, the Mayavadis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew how to wake them up. They needed something material because they worshipped matter. You know, they thought Maya is more powerful than the Lord. The Lord is the product of Maya. So he said, yeah, glow like thousands of sun. And sure enough, Prakashananda Saraswati, he came and fell at the... He said, why are you sitting here? You come amongst us immediately. So, you know, different shlokas for different folks, they say. So everyone needs to be preached to differently. Here, Mahaprabhu shows that. And then once, you know, he shows that, then of course, Mayavadis, you know, they ask him, why aren't you studying the Vedas? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my spiritual master taught me to be a fool. So he said, Guru More Murkha Dekhi, Karila Shashan, give me the instructions. You just do Harinam. That is what you are fit for. And then I did that. And then, you know, I started crying, laughing, shivering, and all these symptoms. And I went back to my guru and said, what is the mantra you have given? You know, funny things are happening. And guru said, no, not funny things. These are the right things. You've attained the highest. That is to be attained. You know. So you're doing the right thing. Continue doing it. So that's what I'm doing. But then they asked him the meaning of Vedanta. And of course they're asking the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he gave them the right meaning, which they accepted finally and surrendered to him. Now that wouldn't have been, you know, that would have been anyway, because the Lord wanted it. But sending Tapan Mishra, the Lord being omniscient, omnipotent, you know, everyone is moved. Krishna says, Ishvaro Sarva Bhutanam, Riddeshe Arjun Tishtati, Brahman Sarva Bhutani, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. We are as if seated on a machine, and the Lord is arranging the wandering of all living entities. We are sent in different directions to do different services, to do different things. So similarly, the Lord sends Tapan Mishra, and years later, when he goes there, he stays at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya and goes to take prasad at Tapan Mishra's house. In the house is also a small boy, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who serves him, massages his feet with his little lotus hands, and then, you know, he serves the Lord in various ways, cleaning the space and all that. And the Lord blesses him. He says, you know, when you are old enough, you come to me. And so, you know, Raghunath Bhatta, you know, he remembers that when his parents are old, you know, at that time he goes to meet the Lord in Jagannath Puri. The Lord is there. Raghunath Bhatta spends 8 months in Jagannath Puri. He cooks for the Lord. And he has a beautiful voice. He sings the Srimad Bhagavatam verses in various meters. And the Lord is really attracted by his, you know, reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. And after 8 months, the Lord says, you go back, your parents, your father Tapan Mishra and your mother, they are old and infirm. And you take care of them and you come after they have disappeared from this earthly planet. So Raghunath Bhatta goes there and then he takes care of his father Tapan Mishra and mother. And after 4 years, when his father and mother go back to the spiritual world, he goes again to Jagannath Puri, where the Lord again trains him for 8 months. And then he says, you now go to Vrindavan and join Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. In the house of Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya also, you know, Sanatan Goswami is called to Banaras, and he comes at that time, having just left the service of the Nawab Hussain Shah. So in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra, the Lord speaks extensively to Sanatan Goswami about all the purports of the Vedic scriptures and asks him to write the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which he wrote. like that. So when the Lord is training up Sanatan Goswami, Tapan Mishra is attentively hearing all that. So by following the instructions, Tapan Mishra's life was totally successful. You know, he not only did he was instrumental in the Lord preaching to the Mayavadis, he was instrumental in serving the Lord. And then he had a son who was also, you know, who became one of the Goswamis. Like that. So, very important, but we are very lucky we have been given the instructions. And one, if we follow the instructions sincerely, then of course other instructions will come through different areas or in through our spiritual master. Like that. Thank you very much for being a kind audience and listening to me. If there are any questions, comments, realizations.